Reading from Sports Illustrated. My name is Bill, volunteer reader here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Let's begin with a feature from this month's Sports Illustrated entitled Patrick Mahomes. The question isn't how the quarterback is so good, it's how he's so normal. And this feature written by Greg Bishop of Sports Illustrated. Patrick Mahomes is still sore, still swollen, injured left ankle wrapped tightly with athletic tape. It's early November, the day after Election Day. The Chiefs hold perhaps the shakiest 8-win, no-loss record in NFL history, and now, after Mahomes needed help getting off the field late in a Monday night win over the Buccaneers, they're dealing with another round of ankle watch for their superstar quarterback. Only the presidential race generates more headlines. Otherwise, it's all Patrick, Patrick, Patrick. One outlet details a favorite ritual, Mahomes sharing a brief kiss with his wife before games. Another describes his 5th annual charity gala and its community impact. Another openly wonders if Taylor Swift, notable Chiefs fan, had snubbed the Kamala Harris campaign to be at a game. Another describes Mahomes' 3-year-old daughter, Sterling, and her charming description of defenders. So rude. One headline has Mahomes as being so back. Another notes his quote-unquote fall out of the MVP race. Patrick Mahomes is a proxy for America and its favorite sport. All season, debates have raged around him, his mom's politics, his wife's politics, even his politics, the gist of which Mahomes has never publicly revealed. His father was sentenced 10 days in jail, 5 years probation for driving under the influence of alcohol last February. His mother pleaded for prayers for her father, who had fallen ill and been hospitalized. And in early November, Mahomes is not playing his best football, not according to sources, but according to him. He is in the middle of the pack among NFL quarterbacks in passing yards and touchdowns. Through 8 games, he has thrown 9 interceptions. Only Jordan Love and Geno Smith have more. The Bills would eventually hand the Chiefs a loss in Week 11, but at this point, Patrick Mahomes is still undefeated, including the playoffs and Super Bowl. Kansas City closed out last season with 6 consecutive victories. He had never won 14 straight games before at any level of football and perhaps in any sports that he played. Maybe basketball, maybe baseball, maybe not. There's an asterisk on the streak, though. For the first 13 wins, the Chiefs never surpassed 28 points. No franchise had ever won that many consecutive games and scored so few points in each. Still, let's not forget, Mahomes is the single best player in professional football. The kingdom knows this, regardless of how this odd, injury-heavy, bad luck 2024 season has unspooled. He is still Patrick Mahomes, right? Thrower of touchdowns, consumer of Whataburger, winner of Super Bowls, devoted dad, destroyer of souls. There is more interest in Mahomes and the Chiefs than there is in any other player or any other team in North America. More than 20 million viewers recorded for KC's victory over Tampa Bay earlier that week, touts a news release from ESPN. On this Wednesday, Patrick Mahomes is behind a lectern addressing local media when one reporter uses the phrase, "regular Sunday." Mahomes lost those years ago, soon after embarking upon an unprecedented start to an NFL career. Normal ceased for Mahomes as soon as he became the most abnormal quarterback in league history. Did it? Because those who know Mahomes best cannot stop using that word, normal, from his physique to his celebratory drink of choice, which is Coors Light cans, to his favorite snack, which is Cool Ranch Doritos, to his hobbies, which is watching sports, there's little beyond the headlines that paints his day-to-day existence as tied in any way to celebrity. To be sure, there are always headlines. It's like Mahomes became a member of the British royal family as his career shot skyward. There's endless scrutiny of his left ankle, right ankle, injured receivers, his new target, wideout DeAndre Hopkins, acquired in late October, injured running backs, and another Kareem Hunt, who returned 6 years after he was banished by the Chiefs in disgrace. Mahomes is the biggest name in the country's biggest sport, but that's not how he sees himself, nor is it how anyone else within his orbit sees him. His normal, Mahomes says in a quiet moment in early November, quote, is just being yourself. People can see when you're true and not trying to put on a persona, unquote. Healthy response. So healthy, it cannot possibly be true. But it is, Mahomes insists, pointing to when this mindset started taking shape during a childhood spent inside Major League Baseball clubhouses. He often tagged along with his father, Patrick Mahomes Sr., who pitched professionally for 11 seasons. In this conversation, his son diverges from more typical responses, all the how-to-succeed elements of a childhood spent around pro athletes. He also learned what not to do from them. I grew up in the locker room, he says, and I remember, I'm not naming names, seeing a lot of superstars. Some just normal guys who love to be there, love to watch sports. Some that, like, it was hard to approach them, unquote. He cannot recall the exact year, but somewhere in that 6, 7, 8-year-old range, young Patrick Mahomes made 2 promises to himself. He will become a professional athlete just like them. But when he makes it, he won't be an a-hole. I wanted to be sure that kids or anybody could come up to me and talk to me, he says. How Mahomes remains so normal for someone with this level of fame and accomplishment starts with those promises. What comes next? That box, the one that he exists in. Same day, same place. Chiefs coach Andy Reid settles behind the mic. Outside, sun beams down on the franchise once known for bad luck. Reid's mustache is in the mid-season form. His offense 8 wins, no loss record notwithstanding, is lost somewhere in the early install stage. He grips the lectern's sides like he'll never let go, knuckles turning white. Been that kind of year, unlike any of the ones before it. The Chiefs keep winning, but each victory, it seems, only raises more questions, more uncertainty, until Reed's purpose in public appearances becomes noting that ugly wins, each more fizzle than sizzle, still, you know, count. One year, when the Patriots were 8 wins, no losses, Tom Brady described himself as quote-unquote miserable. Not these Chiefs. If they can secure a championship three-peat this season, nobody's going to mention any score beyond the Super Bowl anyway. That's where they are appointed. And that push had started with so much promise. On the eve of last February's Super Bowl, General Manager Brett Veach told Sports Illustrated he wasn't optimistic about keeping his best defensive player, scheme-obliterating tackle Chris Jones. At the start of the 2023 season, what Kansas City wanted to pay and what it would have to pay for an extension for Jones were not in the same galaxy. Other roster movements had closed that gap, naturally, but not entirely. Veach soon met with franchise CEO Clark Hunt. "It's important to keep Chris Jones here," Veach told his owner. "Can you enable us to close the gap?" Keeping Jones required paying a higher premium. "Do it," Hunt responded. The sides hashed out an extension, which ended up being 5 years for $101 million guaranteed. "Credit to Clark," Veach says. To help clear money for Jones, Veach dealt cornerback Legarius Sneed to the Titans. Small price, considering. The GM addressed most other needs in the draft, adding speedy wideout Xavier Worthy and offensive tackle Kingsley Suarmacia in the first 2 rounds. Veach sought cornerback depth from the 4th round onward, but the board never matched available talent with Kansas City's prospect evaluations. Oh well, even the NFL's latest dynasty cannot have everything. Plus, Veach already had Mahomes, who just turned 29 in September, but is already a 2-time league MVP, 3-time champion, and 3-time Super Bowl MVP. Veach had fallen for Mahomes when he was playing at Texas Tech. He had fallen especially hard for the uncommon physical gifts the quarterback possessed. Passes departed like rockets shot from launch pads. Spatial awareness that could not be taught. Yards and touchdowns amassed as if playing real-life video games. Mahomes, at his essence, did things that defied physics, imagination, belief. Veach projected all and saw not what Mahomes was, but what he could become, one of the best players in history. The Chiefs traded up and drafted Mahomes with the 10th overall pick in 2017, then started creating an incubator designed for growth. Reed was the anchor of the infrastructure Kansas City had put in place. He taught Mahomes offensive football. Quarterback Alex Smith provided early mentorship and a blueprint for approach. The training staff kept Mahomes healthy. The box, his word, that insulates and protects Patrick Mahomes was beginning to take shape. Mahomes' natural bearing and intentional approach bled into the locker room. Full breaks from football ensured that he could indulge his obsession with studying the game, meticulously gleaning insights from every season. The incubator produced intended growth. The national spotlight grew, but Somehow, Kansas City, the actual city, limited its glare. It was the kind of place conducive to the normal guy lifestyle that Mahomes craved. His personal coaches enhanced individual skills. His football team enhanced how he deployed them. Together, quarterback and franchise became the most adaptable team in football. Injuries could strike right before the playoffs. Roster churn could threaten to unravel momentum. The offense could sputter and stall. Nothing mattered beyond the baseline and what it fashioned, the NFL's most dominant and most regenerative team. Patrick Mahomes is not the first athlete to become paparazzi-level famous, nor is he the first superstar to hire an army of support staff. The critical difference between Mahomes and many others is how deeply he listens to everyone handpicked for his orbit. He handles football prep and football. Every other thing in season is farmed out, which can make it seem like Mahomes is everywhere when, in reality, he is mostly in the same place. One Arrowhead Drive. As I've gotten more fame, he says, I just stay within that box, unquote. Life in the box, as he defines it, consists of reporting to Chiefs headquarters before sunrise every morning, spending each day in recovery, practice, film, and bonding with his quote-unquote brothers. Then, home to his wife, Brittany, his two children, and a group of friends that includes some that he met long ago in youth baseball. They watch sports, hang with kiddos, go to bed early. His circle rarely expands. If anything, it has constricted over time. Mahomes says the inclination to climb inside that box, not come out, starts with faith and related understandings. Mahomes isn't some Ryan Holiday book-carrying stoic, but his mindset is grounded in the core principles of stoicism espoused by ancient Greek philosophers. He decided early on to only address what he could directly impact or even partially control. He let everything else go, and when he did, he says that this mindset made it to where I can play more free now. I am not so worried. When I get to these big, big moments, I just focus on things I can control. And others will focus on how big the moment actually is, unquote. Mahomes can sound refreshing this way, a human embodiment of clichés most spew but rarely embody. Above his locker, a collection of bobbleheads, baseball cards, and family pictures spruce up the top shelf. While most cubicle dwellers might elect for similar office decor, there's a major difference. For Mahomes, half the bobbleheads are him. This box that Mahomes describes could sound more confining than comforting. Confining enough, perhaps, to make a real life outside football unattainable. Not so, he says. It feels more comfortable. I only have relationships where we trust each other. I can be myself. I don't have to try to be cool or whatever. I can be goofy. I can just be Patrick Mahomes or who I believe Patrick Mahomes is, unquote. After becoming the NFL's first back-to-back champion in two decades earlier this year, Kansas City pointed its dynasty towards the league's first Super Bowl three-peat. Veach never expected the chase would be easy, but this, Injury City, he never saw anything like it. Before the opener, Veach loved the Chiefs' reconfigured receivers room. He believed that Rashee Rice was poised to become a top wideout after becoming a critical extension of Kansas City's run game last season. Quote, Rashi is going to lead the NFL in receiving this year, unquote, the GM became fond of saying. Reed planned to control the middle of the field with Rice and tight end Travis Kelce. To add a needed vertical threat, Veach signed Marquise Hollywood Brown in March and then drafted Worthy, who is even faster. By September 29th, Brown, who was injured on the first play of the first preseason game, and Rice, who was injured in Week 4, were gone. So was running back Isaiah Pacheco. These aren't typical injuries. Brown dislocated the sternoclavicular joint in his left shoulder and needed surgery. The Chiefs re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster to replace him. Pacheco fractured his right fibula. And Rice, well, he had proven Veach correct, at least until Mahomes collided with Rice during a play in Los Angeles. The accidental pileup damaged his right knee. Rice also needed surgery. The most statistically unlikely things that have ever happened, Veach says. I was sick to my stomach before Rashi got hurt. Has a number one receiver ever been taken out for the season by his own quarterback? What are the odds of that happening? Unquote. Smith-Schuster played his best game this season in a Week 5 win over New Orleans. 2 weeks later, he aggravated a hamstring injury in the first quarter against San Francisco and missed several games. Jalen Watson, the Chiefs' number two cornerback, fractured his ankle that afternoon and suffered a high ankle sprain, landing him on IR. Veach spent weeks in full-on triage mode with two assists from his quarterback. Mahomes popped out to voice support for two moves, one bringing back Kareem Hunt, who was released by the team 6 years ago after video surfaced of him physically assaulting a woman. He was never charged. The second move, adding Hopkins, a former All-Pro, to the decimated receiving core. Veach acquired the veteran wideout from Tennessee before Week 8 for a conditional fifth-round pick. It became a fourth-rounder if, among other requirements, the Chiefs reach the Super Bowl. Hopkins picked up the offense instantly with an assist from Mahomes, who helped with schematic nuances. 2 days after arriving, Hopkins played 23 snaps against Las Vegas, taking part in yet another narrow win. Even then, tight end Jody Fortson landed on IR with a right knee injury. Patrick Mahomes is thanking God for evolution, for multiple evolutions, in fact. He traces his to one night, January 20th, 2019, the first of six and counting consecutive appearances in the AFC Championship game. Kansas City lost, delaying his first Super Bowl appearance. The shocking part came afterward when the opposing quarterback stopped by the home locker room. Tom Brady wanted to speak with him. You're doing it the right way, Brady said. Just keep doing what you're doing, unquote. Might not sound like much. Mahomes would be named league MVP that season. His 50 touchdown passes still mark a career high, as does his 8.8 yards per pass attempt. But neither of those quarterbacks see football like mere mortals. Statistics aren't the point. For him to say that, a guy I watched growing up winning so many Super Bowls, was huge for me. Showed me I was doing the right things. Gave me a stamp of approval, Mahomes says. The exchange led Mahomes to ask himself, how can I build on that? Thus began the evolution that may one day put Brady and Mahomes side by side in debates over the single greatest player in NFL history. They don't share much, varying in athletic traits, style of play, upbringing, and how each handles the celebrity tsunami. But they do share two things: intense desire to be great and an intrinsic desire to evolve. In 2018, Mahomes wanted to throw deep as often as possible. In each subsequent season, he sought more balance. Not on individual throws, he still threw plenty off his back foot while scrambling from varying angles, still turned in spectacular throws, many magic acts. But balance in knowing when to tap into his unique bag of physical tricks. Reed helped, unspooling more knowledge as years passed. So did Jeff Christensen, Mahomes' personal quarterback coach. Christensen refined mechanics and helped lead training sessions alongside Mahomes and Kelsey in Texas each spring. Mindset shifts came next. The tricky part, playing safer, more efficiently, without in any way diminishing the gifts that separated him. I always look back at that first year. I don't know how I did it because I didn't know, Mahomes says. There are times in my career where I was a beginner compared to now, unquote. In Mahomes' bucket of elite traits, panoramic vision, memory, increased understanding of defenses and tendencies, high pain tolerance, golden arm, Christensen saw how the quarterback could vary his style of play each season. They worked on everything, no detail too small, no fundamental ever ignored. Throwing in the rain and snow, moving in any weather, studying elite quarterbacks, analyzing every interception. Then came the high shells, those high shell coverages where defensive coordinators keep two safeties deep on almost every play. The point, limit deep passes, limit even the desire to attempt them. Mahomes had to accept taking even fewer risks. They simply weren't available and forced passes upticked his interceptions tally from 6 in the year 2020 to 13 in the 2021 season and a career-high 14 in 2023. Coach Andy Reid deploys a torturous exercise that has taken on additional emphasis in recent years. Broke it out nearly every day in training camp and still does. The long drive drill would save the Chiefs' seasons. It sucks, Mahomes says. It's less of a drill and more of a masochistic endurance assignment with football plays thrown in. Reed signals the first team offense. Drives begin with two rules: no subs, no breaks. Mahomes runs play after play, after play, after play, up to 25 in a row until every vet would trade a Super Bowl ring for a glass of water. Kansas City skyrocketed to the pinnacle of pro football with the intergalactic offense of deep passes and improbable throws. It stayed there by normalizing adaptation. Four Super Bowl appearances came from patience and change. It has continued this season. That high-flying offense is a distant memory. Through 10 games, Mahomes was averaging 5.9 air yards per pass attempt, second lowest among all NFL quarterbacks. Mahomes is rolling now as if on one of those long, long drives. It's about finding balance, finding flow, finding ways to win, he says. Obviously, I want big games Everybody does. But I would rather excel in high-pressure moments. You saw that with Tom. He would go through his drills and his fundamentals, make the right plays, and then at the end, touchdown, win, unquote. These Chiefs are the new New England Patriots in more ways than might seem obvious. When stuff happens, when Mahomes' ankle rolls or he takes out his top receiver or defenses do everything possible to limit his explosiveness, he simply adapts. This helps everyone around him do the same. Fame, money, endless adoration and criticism and drama for all of the mamas don't mean anything to Mahomes. He's a pleasure, Coach Reed notes. How many times has a head coach said that about a superstar? How many times did Bill Belichick say that about Tom Brady? Reed says Mahomes is quote-unquote conditioned like Brady and also not like him at all. Quote, somewhere along the way, he programmed himself, Reed adds, to be a normal guy, a great person, and he trails off. The rest is obvious. The statistics that do matter, that speak to both the Chiefs' offensive evolution and their playoff chances, a 52% third down conversion percentage tops in the NFL through Week 11, and limited negative plays. They're winning by what they don't do, winning by limiting mistakes. Sure, they needed to block a field goal to get past the middling Broncos to get to 9 wins, no losses. Yes, in those 15 straight wins through Denver, the offense, once TNT explosive, never scored more than 30 points in a game. But Mahomes is not worried, not even a little. Hopkins impacted victory number 8 in only his second game with the team. His presence freed Kelce for the best 2-game stretch of his season. Turnovers notwithstanding, Mahomes actually wants to make more calculated risks. I need to get back to that 2018 mentality a little, he says. Find the right line, unquote. Mahomes describes Hopkins' understanding of scheme and manipulating defenses as quote-unquote high-level stuff. If that doesn't terrify the rest of the league, this from Worthy should. Quote, we haven't really clicked yet, the rookie said after Week 9. Once we do, it's gonna be scary, unquote. Christensen, when asked if Michael Jordan, not Brady, makes for a better comparison to Mahomes, can only sigh into his cell phone. As a longtime Bulls season ticket holder, he promised to never make that comparison. Still, he can't help it. Quote, Patrick put himself in position for that debate, Christensen says. He's closing fast with no major flaw, unquote. Obviously, that's the hope, Mahomes says, to be someone like Jordan who has an impact on the game, unquote. Young Patrick devoured Bulls games that his father taped on VHS. I want to be remembered for winning, obviously, he says, but I want to be remembered for how much fun it was to watch me play and for the person that I was on the field. I have that fire. I want people to enjoy the moment every time, unquote. Veach draws another comparison, Mahomes as a Brady-John Elway hybrid. Mahomes possesses many of Elway's immense physical gifts. Both share a background in baseball. Elway attributes Brady wiring, Veach says. This season, chaos swirls like smoke signal warnings all around Mahomes. In that box, though, he doesn't seem to notice, because that's him. Patrick Mahomes just is. And again, that feature is entitled Patrick Mahomes. The question isn't how the quarterback is so good, it's how he's so normal. Written by Sports Illustrated writer Greg Bishop. And another feature from this month's Sports Illustrated is entitled Hangin' Tough. She can barely lift her hands above her head, but Connecticut Sun forward Alyssa Thomas doesn't let pain or injuries stop her from putting her remarkable versatility and basketball IQ on full display. And this feature written by Sports Illustrated writer Michael Rosenberg. Alyssa Thomas cannot really shoot a three-pointer. This is not to say that she struggles to make them. She literally cannot shoot them. I can get it to the rim from the three-point line, she says, and surely she is the only elite pro basketball player who has even uttered those words. But I am sore for a couple of days if I shoot a few of them, unquote. Thomas, who has spent her entire 10-year WNBA career with the Connecticut Sun, has played with a torn labrum, the ring of cartilage that stabilizes the shoulder joint, in each arm for 7 years. She refuses to get them fixed because she says, quote, "They said the surgery and recovery is harder than the Achilles," unquote. And she knows how hard that is. In January of 2022, she tore that tendon in her left leg, which required 8 months of grueling rehab. A lot of people in her condition would not have the pain tolerance to simply give a high five, which is too bad because she deserves a million of them. In the past 3 years, with the repaired Achilles and two bad shoulders, Thomas has played the best basketball of her life. She has made first and second team all WNBA and first team all defense. Before tearing her Achilles, Thomas had zero career triple-doubles. Since coming back, she has had 15, more than any player in WNBA history has had in their career. It is tempting to call her a medical marvel, but since Thomas has declined surgery, she is mostly just a marvel. Stories about her tend to begin quite naturally with her toughness. But there are plenty of tough basketball players, and you don't see them thriving with two torn labrums and a repaired Achilles. Thomas has done it because she has qualities that are extremely rare, even in the world of professional sports. Some, like her strength, are easy to spot, but others are hard for even other players to understand. Six-time WNBA All-Star DeWanna Bonner played against Thomas for 5 years and says that Thomas made no impression on her whatsoever. Then, in the year 2020, Bonner joined Thomas on the Sun. Now Bonner is smitten by Thomas's game. Bonner says now, quote, "I didn't know how good she was until I actually played with her," unquote. When we say that some athletes are built different, Thomas should be Exhibit 1A. As Sun strength and conditioning coach Annalisa Rios puts it, quote, "She is just that sort of human," unquote. Start with the obvious. A torn labrum is a serious injury for any athlete who needs to raise their arms, and as you have probably noticed, basketball rims are not knee-high. Grizzlies star Jay Morant and Pacers guard Benedict Mathurin both tore a labrum in early 2024 and underwent season-ending surgery that sidelined them for more than 6 months. Comparing injuries requires the caveat that no two tears are exactly the same. So, This is not meant as a direct comparison to Morant and Mathurin at all. It is just to say that playing with two torn labrums is a big deal, and by continuing to play, Thomas keeps tearing them. The problems in her right shoulder started in the year 2015, her second season in the league. In the ensuing years, she says that she injured it multiple times. This was manageable because, although Thomas is a natural righty, she had always shot the ball left-handed. But then, when she was playing in South Korea in 2017, she tore the labrum in her left shoulder so severely that she started airballing free throws. Suddenly, the injured right shoulder seemed like a good option. Rather than undergo surgery, Thomas switched shooting hands. In the WNBA bubble in 2020, it was her right shoulder's turn again. She dislocated it in a playoff game. But when the Sun returned to the court 2 days later, so did Thomas. She played 38 minutes and had 23 points and 12 rebounds in a 77-68 victory. Quote, "I always joke with AT that she's a superhuman or she's somehow bionic," Rios says, "and it's not entirely a joke. She has all these stabilizer muscles that take over the job of the labrums," unquote. And Thomas's recuperative powers don't seem to be confined to her shoulders. Quote, "I honestly think that she has so much strength in her that even with an ankle roll, her muscles are so adept at adapting to that change of motion, being able to almost like catch it before it becomes too bad," unquote. Those souped-up stabilizers, the smaller, deeper muscles that support the major joints, help explain why Thomas can stay on the court. But they do not eliminate the pain. That is just part of her life. "Sleeping is a little uncomfortable," Thomas says. "I toss and turn a lot. You just can't stay on your shoulders for a long time, and I'm not really a back sleeper," unquote. Bonner says that sometimes the 6'2" Thomas will reach to grab something from a kitchen cabinet and have to ask for help if it's on the top shelf. Yet in 2023, Thomas led the WNBA in getting the ball off the top shelf. She won the league's rebounding title, averaging 9.9 rebounds per game. While other players might limit themselves to avoid exacerbating an injury, Thomas embraces her various ailments, turning them into strengths. She doesn't just bowl her way through the pain. She constantly modifies based on whatever hurts the most. "One thing that I've done throughout this whole thing," she says, "is just get more creative," unquote. Thomas's basketball reference profile reads, quote, "shoots left, right," unquote. But if you watch her, you might say that she shoots neither-handed. She hoists push shots that are reminiscent of a little kid who must summon every ounce of strength to reach the rim. She says, "I know it's unorthodox, it doesn't look pretty, but it's the only way for her to shoot. The free throw line is at the end of her range. During the 2024 season, she was 62.8% from the stripe, but 214 of her 326 field goal attempts came from inside 5 feet, and she made 60.7% of those tries. By avoiding shots that she cannot expect to make, she was 50.9% from the floor, the second highest rate of her career. She adapts in more subtle ways, too. Nobody in the arena would notice this, but when Thomas defends in the post, she cannot really hold her position with her forearm like most players are taught to do. How much she tries to do that, quote, just depends on if I've been hit or if something's tweaked it. It's happened so much now that I know when I've torn a little more scar tissue, unquote. Her ability to know exactly what her body needs to move the way it does is just unbelievable, says Rios. I haven't seen anything like that before, and we work with elite athletes, unquote. Rios calls the connection between Thomas's brain and body, quote unquote, insane. Yet it is not surprising. We've been so busy talking about her injuries that we forgot to mention something kind of important. Alyssa Thomas is a basketball genius. Thomas has one of those rare sports brains, a supercomputer competing against flip phones. Most smart, diligent athletes watch extra video of their upcoming opponents. Thomas does not. She has effectively placed out of that level of basketball academia. For Thomas, watching extra video of a single opponent would be like an English major studying her ABCs instead of reading classic novels. Instead, Bonner says, she watches a lot of basketball all day, every day. She watches the NBA. She watches preseason. She watches summer league. She watches everything, unquote. The result is an extraordinary catalog of hoops knowledge, far more information than most players could possibly sift through. Other players try to remember their opponent's plays and tendencies from film sessions. When player X sets a screen for player Y there, player Z floats to that corner for a possible three-pointer. Thomas pops what she sees on the court into the internal database that she has built up over the years, then comes up with a solution in real time. There are moments when she understands opponents better than they understand themselves. In this situation, player X will go over there, whether she realizes it or not. She'll tell me, "Go to this spot and look for this," and it will literally be wide open, Bonner says. And it's just like, man, how did you even see that? The way that her mind thinks is a totally different level than most players, unquote. Thomas had to wait a few years before she could take full advantage of her head, but that says more about the sport than about her or the son. While the WNBA has, like most levels of basketball, moved towards a more positionless game, it wasn't that way when Thomas was drafted fourth overall out of Maryland in 2014. At least in Connecticut, where Sun coach Kurt Miller looked at her size and lack of perimeter scoring ability and inserted her into a traditional power forward role. Connecticut had some success, advancing to two finals and having the league's best record in 2021, but the team wasn't getting full advantage of Thomas's greatest gift, her ability to see the game like a Hall of Fame point guard. In the past 3 years, and especially once Miller and star Jonquel Jones left the franchise after the 2022 season, Connecticut has changed its offensive approach. Current coach Stephanie White runs what Thomas describes as, quote, a read-based offense, and much of it flows through Thomas, positions be damned. Why run a set play that opponents have studied on film when Thomas can pull one out of her mental encyclopedia and surprise them? I've just been able to freestyle and put my teammates where I see the mismatches, Thomas says. They know if they run that I'm going to find them or get them easy shots, unquote. Playing with two torn labrums is like driving with four leaky tires. As soon as you get one working, another one goes poof. Thomas does not take measures to keep herself in the lineup. She gets cupping massages. She takes anti-inflammatory medicine. She also lifts weights after games, including benching a pair of 50 or 60-pound dumbbells, which seems counterintuitive. Why put more stress on what already hurts? But by lifting, she builds up those stabilizer muscles. For WNBA players of this generation, a long rehab is not just an excuse to delay surgery. Time away usually means lost income from playing overseas. Thomas is 32 years old. If she had gotten her shoulders repaired when she injured them all those years ago, who knows? She's too smart to play that game. Quote, I could have easily just given up and had the surgery, she says. No telling how that would have went for me either, unquote. Thomas has played so well for so long with torn labrums that her career has an if it hasn't happened by now feel to it. I will eventually have the surgeries, she says, when I am done playing, unquote. In the meantime, the only operations in her plans are the ones that she performs on opponents. And again, that feature is entitled Alyssa Thomas. She can barely raise her arms, but the Connecticut Sun forward finds other ways to showcase her versatility. Written by Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated. And in Sports Illustrated's scorecard section, here's a short feature entitled Cup Runneth Over. Steph Curry is giving back with a league for underrepresented golfers, written by Stephanie Epstein of Sports Illustrated. Steph Curry is holding his Olympic gold medal and readying to try to capture another NBA championship. But on this September day, sprawled in an armchair overlooking the first tee of the Ridgewood Country Club in Paramus, New Jersey, he wants to talk about an award that he does not plan to win. Quote, I look forward to seeing somebody hold up a trophy on the PGA Tour. I'll be super proud of this moment. And they're like, oh, where'd you get your start? The underrated golf tour, Curry says. To me, that would be the greatest compliment in the world. And you don't have to say my name, but I'd know the journey that they are on to get to this place, unquote. The Warriors star has begun thinking of his legacy in terms greater than points scored and titles won. Curry has been holding hoops camps forever, and the Eat, Learn, Play Foundation that he and his wife Aisha started in 2019 provides 25,000 meals and 100,000 books to Oakland area kids annually. But it was around that time that he began wondering how he could give back in his other favorite area. Quote, golf has taught me a lot of perseverance, patience, and humility, he says. Golf is very finicky. You could come out one day and be Tiger Woods in your head, and the next day you don't even know how to hit a golf ball. It exposes a lot about you. And so my favorite thing is that you can go play golf with somebody for 4 hours and you learn everything you need to know about their personality and how they see the world, unquote. Curry made what he described at the time as a seven-figure donation to Howard University 5 years ago to start men's and women's golf programs. But he wanted to do more. Will Lowry, a pro and longtime golf partner of Curry's, knew exactly where his friend could make his impact among those who already showed promise. Quote, less than 2% of black and brown kids are playing high-level junior golf, Lowry says. Less than 1% are playing collegiate golf, unquote. So they launched the Underrated Golf Tour, an all-expenses-paid circuit that takes 96 junior golfers from underrepresented backgrounds to tournaments at a handful of courses each summer. Flights, hotels, meals, and some gear come from the tour's sponsors. Since when does somebody pay for everything for juniors, says Bernicia Reed, whose 17-year-old son Duncan played on the tour this year, and whose 19-year-old Thomas is an alumnus. It is unheard of. It's a big deal, unquote. The golfers and their parents travel together and attend life skills events. They refer to it as a family. Thomas Reed loves the tour so much that he took a few days off from his freshman year at Southern University, where he studies finance and plays on the golf team along with three other underrated alumni, to watch his brother compete. The tour culminates with the Curry Cup. This year, the top 26 boys and girls faced off at Ridgewood. Curry is very personally involved, scheduling events around his basketball travel, in part because he wants the golfers to know how invested he is in their futures. It's not just about getting them around golf, it's about getting them around the kind of people who play golf. And that's all the time that we have for this reading of Sports Illustrated. And that's all the time that we have for this reading of Sports Illustrated. My name is Bill, volunteer reader here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Sports Illustrated. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info. And you could hear Sun Sounds on your smart home device.